All right, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about generational conflicts at work now. And this is a really interesting phenomenon that might sound very familiar to you in your own workplace. With so many workers working longer now and retiring later in life, you got multiple workers in the same place from multiple generations all trying to get along. You've got the baby boomers. You've got the Gen Xers. Yeah, they're getting old now too. The Gen Ys, the millennials as they're known. Talk to experts. And they'll tell you these different generations of workers function differently based on their age, how they work, how they communicate. And it's creating a whole new set of challenges in the modern workplace. Let's talk about this with Megan Sheldon now, a strategist from Narrative Communications. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on. Let's start with who are the oldest groups at work these days? The baby boomers?
No, well, I mean, I work with people between the ages of 20 and 70. I'm in a collaborative workspace, so it's a lot of different types of businesses all sharing, working under the same roof. We're getting across the span with everyone.
Yeah, so you're talking about your 50-year age gap there.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about some of the tensions between these age groups. I mean, in the typical workplace these days, what kind of things are you hearing? What kind of conflicts are you hearing about?
Well, I think that what's really happening is there's a lot of perceived tension. People are positioning each other against one another. You're looking at what you assume baby boomers represent and what you assume Gen Y represents. And a lot of our wires are getting crossed. And I think that the information that we're putting out there isn't always serving us in the best way. I mean, a lot of the stereotypes out there are that the baby boomers have, been focused on their self for so long, and if we're looking at climate change in the world and the way that we are moving forward with everything, it's been a really hard way to...
Right, so it's like these older people have kind of screwed up the world for us.
Exactly.
And they're refusing to retire.
Yeah, they're refusing to retire. This is the kind of mindset that's out there, and I think it's a dangerous one to have. I work with a lot of people in that age bracket, and I see them adding a lot of value to the workplace and having a lot of wisdom to share, and they're still there wanting to learn from other people of different ages. So that's a different one to have. And then you bring in the assumptions around Gen Y, that which is my generation. We've come out, have university, and we're entitled, and we're looking to kind of start up at the top and not necessarily work our way. And that's not what I'm seeing either. I'm seeing a lot of people who did come out of university. They had essentially high expectations around where they would start, and they've had to work their way up in a different way. But what I'm seeing a lot of more of is the entrepreneurial mindset. So I'm meeting people from across all ages that are setting out on their own to start their own businesses.
Okay. Do you think with young people today, Megan, that there's any kind of resentment toward older generations? Let's say, young people trying to work their way up into a better job, and they'll sort of look at these older workers, these baby boomers who don't want to retire. They want to keep working. They've got all the money. They're sitting on their big pensions and their big RSPs, and they want to keep working and not let someone else get out of the way and give somebody else a job.
I don't see it. I mean, I hear it, and I hear people talking about it, but I'm connected to so many different groups in this city, in Vancouver, and what I see is people really actually working together, and, there's obviously some tensions, especially around the way that we communicate and the way that things are happening inside the workplace, but what I see is still a lot of value that people are seeing. I talk with people in their 60s, and they're excited to go for coffee and chat with someone fresh out of university and get their take on the world and how they can learn from each other. I think that's the key point that we have to focus on.
Okay, well, speaking of learning from each other, what are some of the challenges there? Because I suspect that the technological changes that we've seen really may put up some barriers between people, or is that true? I mean, if you get like younger people who are very comfortable communicating via their handheld devices, whether it's texting or setting up meetings that way, I mean, is there kind of a generation gap there with older people who are not comfortable or familiar with that?
I definitely think it's a barrier between people, but I don't think it's necessarily generations. I follow people on Twitter around the world who are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and they're able to understand the technology and use it to their benefit. I think we, as a younger generation, have a leg up in the sense that we were raised with the internet. It's been around us, so it's second nature in a lot of ways. But I don't think the technology inaccessible. I think if you see it as a need and that it will help you in your profession, if you're 20 years old or if you're 50 years old, you need to start learning how to use it and how to use it that works for you.
Okay. How about companies out there and employers? Do you think that they could do, say, a better job in trying to get older and younger workers sort of working together or getting a, you know, trying to create that kind of team environment where people may be separated by multiple generations, but you're all working toward the same goal?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where my business comes in. I focus on storytelling, using the idea of storytelling and sharing your own experiences to build bridges and bring people together as opposed to having these big peaks and valleys that kind of separate us all. So the simple fact of getting people in a room and having them talk about where they come from and breaking down some of those stereotypes, often that can be the bridge that's needed to really engage people inside the workforce.
Okay. Do older people, older workers, and younger workers sort of think differently, process information differently, go about their jobs differently in a general way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a given. We were raised in different ways. But, I mean, if you looked at 50 years in the past, if you were to split the young generation and look at the older generation, there was differences there, too. It's just the way that we are able to kind of engage with the information that's around us. I recently wrote a blog post, and I was saying that, you know, I was raised in a world where if there's an earthquake around halfway around the world or a political coup in Egypt, I know about it right away. So, of course, that's got to change the way that I do business. You know, I'm, in a sense, working all the time. I'm constantly connected to things like Twitter and, you know, Reddit and looking at the different ways that news is coming around me.
Right.
So I think that as a corporation or as a large workplace, you need to understand what's happening and how people are accessing their information and how you can better engage with it as opposed to just ignoring it or saying that it's dividing you.
Right. And do you think that employers are doing a good job sort of training their older workers or getting them up to speed on these sort of new technologies?
No, and I mean, it's part of the reason why I'm self-employed. I worked in the corporate structure for a short amount of time, and I it's not necessarily the businesses themselves, but it's the corporate structure that I think a lot of young people have issue with. It's been designed in a way that you have to work your way up in a very slow process, and at the end of the day, you can just be let go, and there's no remuneration in a sense. I remember my dad telling me that when he was growing up, his father worked for the same company for 40 years, and then one day he was let go, and he had a heart attack 3 months later. It's just that we were raised with these types of stories, and so our generation has come forward and said, we don't want to live that way. We don't want to have someone else always being in control of our lives.
Right.
And so you see this shift towards the entrepreneurial mindset, even if you're not running your own business. You can still be, you know, looking at what you're passionate about, going after the things you love. If you're really interested in, say, storytelling and mythology, like I was, how can you bring that into a background with marketing and communications? There's no one way to follow a direct career path.
How about young people, say, graduating college, university, mm-hmm. looking at getting that first job and starting to try and realize their dreams, whether it's buying a home or saving? You know, what do young people tell you today, Megan? I mean, I get the sense that there's a lot of frustration out there that young people are finding it tough to really find a really good paying job so they can have the same standard of living, say, their parents did.
Yeah, I grew up in Vancouver and I grew up in a single family home. And, you know, for the majority of my generation, that's going to be a very hard thing to come by at this point.
Right.
But I think the messages that we've been being fed that we need to own a home, that we need to own a certain type of home, we need to move away from that because, as you'll see, the city is changing and we need to shift our expectations. I think you can be just as happy living in a two-bedroom condo apartment versus a big home. I don't think that's what defines happiness.
Okay, Megan, interesting thoughts there. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Megan Sheldon from Narrative Communications. And let's get the phone lines going here because I'd love to hear you call up and share your own experiences and stories on this issue of multi-generations at work. Let's say you're an older worker and you're working with young people at your office or your place of work. What kind of differences do you find there? Do you find it difficult to communicate with younger kids coming up? Do they have a different sensibility or approach to work from your experience as an older worker? Let's say you're a younger person. Do you find it frustrating dealing with an older generation of workers, whether maybe they don't understand the technology that you use at work? If you're a young person, just maybe graduating from college or university and looking forward to a job and a career. Love to hear from you. If you're feeling optimistic or pessimistic, or as Megan said, maybe expectations are changing in a big way. Phone me up on all of that. 604-280-9898. Toll free. 1-877-399-9898. Star 9898 on your cell. Your call is coming up. All right. Welcome back as we continue to talk about the issues of generational differences in the workplace. You got the baby boomers, you got the Gen Xers, Gen Y, the millennials, all working together now. Phone me up. Tell me your experiences on this. What it's like as a young person working in an older workplace or vice versa. 604-280-9898 is the number to call. Toll free. 1-877-399-9898. Star 9898 on your cell. Megan Sheldon is here from Narrative Communications. Let's go to Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Yes, good morning. Listen, I'm 61 and I work with a bunch of young kids, and I don't know if it's just this particular group of young kids, but they're great. They call my perfume ointment, and that I write in hieroglyphics. And I teach them how to press their pants and press their shirts and how to save money, and they do all the Googling in the world for me.
Okay, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a waitress.
You're a waitress. Okay, yeah, I can imagine in restaurants these days or waitresses. Yeah, you got a real mix of people.
Oh, they're good kids, though, I tell you. Mind you, I think if I was doddering and I was a dumbbell, I think they'd probably kick me to the side. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but you get along with the youngsters, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeps me young, too.
Okay, so that keeps you young. And now, what are they like? Do they learn from you?
Yeah, they do. If I see that their belt loop is missing their belt, I fix it for them, or I straighten up their shirt, and I tell them how to iron, and I tell them how to save money, and I tell them the importance of not drinking too much, and they listen. You know, they don't do, but they listen. You know, it's good. I love it. If we all together collectively, if we have any issues, it's quite often with management.
Okay, Maggie, sounds like you're happy at work. That's good.
Yeah.
But maybe with your bosses sometimes, it sounds like.
Yeah, sometimes, but not always. I mean, let's face it, management, I'm going to tell you something, Michael, and people better get it in their heads. It's common sense. There's no enemy. The management needs us, and we need management. Bottom line.
Thanks for calling in, Maggie. I appreciate that. There's someone who works getting along with younger people at work, Megan.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think I'm seeing a lot of that, and I want to start sharing those stories more. I mean, obviously, there are ways that people are having conflict and, stereotypes that are out there for a reason. But we just need to keep sharing these stories and learning from each other. So,
okay, keep phoning me up if you have differences, generational differences at work. 604-280-9898. Let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi. The kids nowadays, they're nice and they're polite and everything else and that, but I do work in an industry, in the retail industry, and the parents have done they don't teach the kids of working society the skills that they need. We've done too much for them. And I work with these kids, I supervise them, and it's very hard. They're just there to have a good time, talk, chit-chat. They're not there, like, they don't have the working skills that we did and were taught when we were younger.
What kind of skills are they lacking, do you think?
You can work and talk, but no, they can't. They just have to stand and talk. So it's always like, come on, let's get back to work. You know, they just, when's the paycheck? They do minimal.
Okay, do you think they lack a work ethic?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And us as parents, I think we've done a disservice to society because we've given them way too much. We've done too much for them. You know, I think it starts at home where we teach them the skills of, you know, making sure, going back to clean up your room, help with chores around the house, and everybody just does everything for our children now, and when they come to the workforce, it's really hard.
Okay, Megan, what do you think? I mean, she thinks that kids are pampered and they don't know how to work hard.
I'm sure there are cases like that. I just think it's a dangerous thing to blanket that statement across an entire generation. I meet people all the time in their early 20s and their 30s that are working three different jobs, trying to make things work, trying to find out what they're passionate about. constantly going and meeting, taking people out for coffee to learn about what their business is. And I agree, but I think the person that she's describing could be across any generation. I think you can get people in their 60s that, you know, are a bit self-entitled at that point and just want to kind of get the paycheck and keep going. So, yeah, I agree that there are definitely people out there, but I just think it's just dangerous to position them as
I would say generation. Probably. I would say it's probably about a 20 to 30% of the work ethics that she's describing in the young kids. You get the odd one that the parents have taught them something.
Okay, so you think that we're not teaching these kids to be what, ambitious enough to work hard enough? What do you think? Where do you think parents are going wrong, Carol?
Just in the skills of when, and I'm talking young kids. I'm not talking like going in, because as they get older, they do learn it. I'm talking about the some of the first time kids that are coming out to get into the workforce, and it's just they haven't taught them anything that to be accountable.
Like, okay, Carol. Thank you for phoning in. Well, Megan, you mentioned that look, you can have old people can be slackers too. You know, just not, it's not just young people are going to be slackers. You can have old slackers. They can be from any generation. But for young people today, I mean, I do feel, so we've only got 30 seconds left now, but, you know, for young people today, I think it is difficult. I think it is more difficult than earlier generations.
I agree. I mean, I agree with what the woman just called in and said, is that our expectations were set really high. We were told if we get a university degree, we will get a high-paying job, and that never happened for the majority of us. So we've had to just kind of make do and find our way into a new kind of career path.
Okay.
And
all right.
My advice is just to follow your passion. If you do something that you love, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, for 100 different people or for a couple of different people. If you can find out what you're passionate about, it will make it a lot easier.
All right, Megan, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. It's Megan Sheldon. She's a strategist with Narrative Communications. Let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Now, speaking about following your passions, going to introduce you to some young people who are really following their passions for sure. Competitors on Top Chef Canada, very popular reality show. Who will be crowned the next Top Chef in the country? That's next.